to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll be reading verses 8 through 10. And when you find that, go back just a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll be reading verses 11 through 15 there. I'll not do you like Brother Sisson. He'll call out four or five places until you put your finger in all those places. We just got these two this morning. And by the way, Brother Sisson will be here in the month of April. Be preaching revival for us. We're looking forward to that. The last Sunday of April, going through the first part of May, he'll be here with us. If you would stand with me this morning as we read these verses together, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. All right, you may be seated. There is an old saying, someone coined this phrase many years ago, is that all I've got to do is to pay taxes and die. Well, those are two things we are certainly going to do. But there's one more thing that the Bible teaches us, and after death, the judgment. And so we find that we are going to live, we are going to die, but there is going to be a judgment that is real. I've heard people say, I want to have my day in court. They simply mean, I want to have my voice heard. I want to tell my story. I want justice given to me or justice given out. And so I want to have my day in court. Well, this morning I want us to think about, on the spiritual side, that we are going to have a day in court. And so I want us to think this morning upon the subject, your day in court, because we're going to stand before the judge of all people. There are only two judgments that are given to us in the Scripture, really. It's the judgment seat of Christ for the believer, and then the white throne judgment for the unbeliever that's found in Revelation chapter number 20. We read here this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 8 through 10. And it talks about whether we labor and whether we be absent or present, we want to be accepted of Him. And then it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm afraid this morning when we come to this point of our life that we really are not going to be too sure that we want to have our day in court, because we're going to give an account of everything done in our body, as the Scripture tells us here, whether it be good or whether it be bad. But we're all going to stand before the Lord. The Bible says in Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Our God is a God of knowledge, and our actions are going to be weighed of the Lord. And we find the Scripture says that one place it says we're weighed in the balance, we're found wanting. The Scripture tells us that we're all going to stand before this judgment seat of Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess." And so we're going to stand before the Lord. And I'm not going to be dealing this morning with the white throne judgment. That is the judgment of the lost. I'm going to be dealing today with the judgment of the saved. This is a solemn passage of Scripture when we really begin to consider what it means and what it says. There is no escape and there is no excuse, because one day we will face the music of our life and we'll face the Master that has saved us. And so when we begin to think about, and we can go back into the our resources of our memories, and we can think of many things that I wish was not there. I can think of many things that are prevalent there in our works sometimes that are not as they should be. But the Bible says here we're going to give an account. The Father seeth in secret, but the Bible says He shall reward openly. And great is your reward in heaven. The Scripture says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward." Don't let somebody trick you out of your reward. Revelation 3:11 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now, no one's going to take your place in heaven, but they can sure take your crowns from heaven. We're not going to lose our place in heaven, but we're going to, if we're not careful, we'll lose our crowns that God will give us. 2 John chapter 1 and verse number 8 says, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." And so this morning, really what we're going to be dealing with, I guess as much as anything, is the works of a child of God. The Scripture tells us that we are to work until Jesus comes. Our society and our Christian society is filled with carefree and carnal conscious Christians that live like they can do anything they want to do just because they say they are saved. They seem to have the idea that they have a license to sin. And they said, well, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Well, Paul said, God forbid that we use the grace of God as a way to excuse our sinfulness and just to say where we sin, there's more grace. That's not what it's all about. And this judgment that we're going to face one day, the Bible says our temples, we studied this not too long ago, that our temple is that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And so therefore we belong to God, and we are going to give an account to the one that has created us and the one that has purchased us. We're going to give an account unto Him. The Bible says we all must stand before Him. It will be a universal judgment, all. Every believer, every child of God, not just the deacons and the Christian workers and the preachers, but it's a universal judgment of every believer that has named the name of Christ and has become a child of the King. It is a judgment that not only is universal, but it's unavoidable. What the Bible says, we must all stand. There will be none that can hide. There will be none that can go away. Our name will be called and we will answer. Our name will be called out and we'll stand before the Lord one day. And the Bible says that we'll give an account. And so just as the judgment is universal and just as the judgment is unavoidable, it is also undeniable. You cannot deny it, because one day we will have our day in court. One day we will stand before God. The place of our judgment is very clear. The Scripture says that it's in the heavens. It'll be taking place during what we call and what we know as the tribulation. But that's the place of our judgment. We're going to be before the Lord, and we're going to be there. The Bible says that He's going to prepare a place for us, that where He is, there we shall be also. And one day we're going to stand, and we'll be there in heaven, in the heavens with Him, and there is the place of our judgment, and it's going to be only the saved. It's very exclusive. Somebody says, well, I belong to an exclusive club, there's certain ones. You and I this morning, we are in a very exclusive club, if you want to call it that. We are the redeemed of God, and nobody can enter into the glories except through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is exclusive in that respect that only the saved. And every one of us, it's so inclusive that it's all of us that are going to stand. Nobody's going to testify on your behalf. There's no witnesses going to be called for you or against you. For the record is already kept, and I know the record keeper makes no mistakes. And so we're going to stand there before Him, and we're going to give an account of ourselves unto the Lord. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It'll either be here or it'll be in Revelation chapter 20. Now, there's only two places we're going to be judged, one in the judgment seat and one at the white throne. And if you know anything about those two judgments, you don't want to be at the white throne. That's of the unredeemed. That's of the lost. That's those of the damned of eternity. I'm glad that the Christian, the child of God, we have a threefold judgment that takes place in our life that one day will culminate in this judgment seat of the Lord. I'm glad as a sinner I was judged on the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are found guilty, but I'm glad He took my place. I'm glad He was my Redeemer, and through redemption I have life. I have been judged on the cross as a sinner. I am being judged daily as a son in chastisement. If we get out of sorts with the Lord, if we get out of the will of God, the Scripture says He chastens those whom He loves, and He rebukes every one of us that are His children. But there is a coming judgment that we shall be judged, and that will be as a servant, and that will be for crowns and for rewards that He has for us. And so there's the place of heaven. The people are the redeemed. The purpose of it is not destination, but it's designation. The purpose of the bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ is not to determine whether or not we're going to heaven. We've already gone to heaven. But it's determining the aspect and determining the designation of what we are and what we have done for the Lord and the crowns that we can win, and the Bible says, or we can lose. There are those things and those crowns and those rewards that we can be beguiled, as it says, let no man beguile you, that you lose those rewards or those crowns. And those are things that we can lose. It's dealing with our, not the condemnation. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us that love God. And so it's not dealing with condemnation, but it's dealing with our confession and the chastisement that God has put upon us. And it's not a sin question, but it's a work question. It's not a judgment of our sins. Thank God they were judged on Calvary. It's a judgment of our works, our deeds, which we do. Our works will be revealed. Our works will be reviewed. Our works will be rewarded or rejected. That's our works before God. Someone said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And how true that is. D.L. Moody made this statement in his life as a preacher of the gospel. He said, I would not work my soul to save, for this my Lord hath done, but I would work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. And you and I this morning, we are to be servants and we are to be busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So as a child of God, God has ordained or God has established, God has put into motion that we are to work for Him. Now, so many times we Baptist people, we lambast work so much that we think we don't have to work. The Bible's full and the Bible's very clear that we are to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I do not work for the Lord in order to get saved, but I work for the Lord because I have been saved. And I believe we are to be just a little bit maybe selfish. And I believe we need to work for the Lord in order to obtain the full reward that God has for us. Well, not to want to just barely make it in. We don't want to just, as we'll see in a few moments, those verses that we read in 1 Corinthians where the wood, hay, and the stubble burn up, those are works that are not lasting. We don't want to just be saved yet so as by fire. We want to obtain some good graces of God, and we want to obtain and do some works that God can reward us and give us crowns so that one day we'll be able to throw them back at His feet because He is worthy of everything that we ever obtain or ever get. And so we ought to be desirous of having the things that God has for us. So the place is heaven. The people are the redeemed. The purpose is designation of rewards. And then the person. We will not be judged by our friends. We'll not be judged by our enemies, thank God. We'll not be judged by those who love us or those who hate us. We'll be judged by the righteous judge, the Lord Himself. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, tells us that God hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. It will be the personal judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing before Him. Standing before the Lord of glory that came and died and put Himself upon the cross of Calvary and shed His blood that we might have life, that we not go to hell, but we go to heaven. And we're going to stand before Him. We're going to have our day in court. We're going to have our life looked at and going to be examined. I believe that's one reason the Scripture tells us that we're to examine ourselves. We're to judge ourselves. We're to be looking at ourselves and to realize what we're doing right and wrong and correct that which is wrong and mature and grow that which is right according to the Word of God. This will be a glorious time, but it'll also be a grievous time. I shudder at the thoughts, and I think if all of us would take time just for a moment, we shudder at the thoughts of standing before Jesus. Now let's go back in time a little bit. Don't want any confessions. Don't want any words. Just go back in your mind a little bit and think about those things that you would never want anybody to know. God already knows them. And this is going to be a revealing discovery. We're going to look at this judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says here, 2 Corinthians, where we read, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone," that's every one of the redeemed, "may receive the things done in his body according to that which he had done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." Now, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll use this primarily as our thoughts this morning, as our points today. The message is not as long as the introduction. That's the introduction. Aren't you glad? But I want us to look this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at this judgment of works and of deeds that we have done. Let's read these verses again. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3, "For other foundation can no man lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now we know, first of all, here's the foundation. That's what we build upon. The New Testament, Matthew, tells us that we can build on sinking sand or we can build on solid rock. I'm glad Jesus Christ is the solid rock. No other foundation can be laid. He is the foundation. Now notice the ministries here. "Now if any man build upon this foundation," now the foundation is Jesus. If any man talks about any child of God, because the only people that's going to build on the foundation are Christians. And so, if any man or any Christian build upon this foundation, there's gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Here are six materials that we'll be looking into. And we'll notice here what it says. Those materials that we put upon the foundation. Every man's work shall be made manifest. That's the revealing part of what we're going to be talking about. Every man's works shall be made manifest. Here is the revealing discovery of the judgment seat of Christ. Every work that we have done, it will be made manifest. It will be made known. Notice it goes on, of which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If you go on down a little bit further, you might be able to build on that foundation and lose a reward. So here's the purpose, or here's the possibility. You can gain a reward, or you can lose a reward. It's according what you do on the foundation. It's according what you do with Jesus Christ. Now notice here, 1 Corinthians, I'll read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse number 5. It says, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Now he's going to bring to light the things that we hide. And will make manifest, there's that word manifest again. He will make known the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now here we find that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to make manifest or make known the very counsels and the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. And he's going to bring those before us. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 10, that we may approve things that are excellent, that we may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. We work not to be accepted in Him, but we work to be accepted of Him. I am accepted in the Beloved because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But I can be accepted of Him by my works of what I do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 14, there's a word there that tells us the word account. We are going to give an account. And the Greek word there for account is the word for narrative. It means we're going to talk to the Lord. He's not only going to make those things made manifest, but we are going to tell it to the judge. We're going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to talk to Him. And as He makes manifest these things, we'll have to talk to Him. Well, this is not too good. This is not too easy to think about. But we're going to have to talk to the Lord about places we went. Oh. We're going to have to talk to the Lord about things we possess. We're going to have to talk to the Lord about what we practiced in our daily life. We're going to give a narrative. When a person writes a book about himself, it's called an autobiography. Biography is what somebody else writes about an individual, but an autobiography is what that individual writes about themselves. Now, biographies probably are much more dependable because they just tend to give you the good parts, or they give you all the parts. An autobiography is a person telling about himself, and we don't want to talk too much about ourselves. We don't want to be transparent to the point that everybody knows every little detail and every little fault and every little sin and every little thing about. We don't want the world to know that, but we're going to give a narrative to the Lord about that. We're going to talk to Him about our misplaced treasures. If we don't confess it now, we'll confess it then. We're going to talk about the money that we spent that we could have done for the Lord that we really didn't have to do for something else. We're going to talk to the Lord about our misused time. Oh, how guilty I am. We're going to talk to the Lord about misappropriated talents. Not using what God has given us and the talents that God has for us. And it's not necessarily, when we think of talent, all of a sudden we think of musical talent. When God talks of talent, He talks about abilities. How that many times we misuse our abilities that God gives us and misuse our talents. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord and we're just going to be talking to Him as He interrogates and as He asks us questions. And we're going to have to give a narrative. We're going to have to give a response to His questions. There won't be any lying because He's already got the answers. There won't be any covering up because He's already uncovered it. There won't be any methods of distorting the facts. We won't be a politician there and try to make everything right where everybody can agree. No, we're going to be standing for a holy and a righteous God, and He's going to look at us and we're going to have narrative with Him. It's not a good thought, is it? I'm glad I'm going to stand before Him. I'm glad I'm at this judgment, but it's still not a very good thought. He's going to look at our methods. I don't know how many people have told me in the last few months now, in the last few years, we may change our methods, but our message does not change. Well, He's going to judge our methods. There are some methods that are wrong. There are some ways of doing things, and they're going to be discovered. Verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." There's our methods. Be careful how we build our life, because we can build it wrong. The foundation is sure. The foundation is laid, and the foundation is, of course, Jesus Christ. But we better be careful what method we build upon Him. Paul tells us how. One day God will put us under the microscope. When God saved us, He put us on His foundation. And since that moment, every one of us, we've been building a life. Boy, that's a tremendous thought. From the time that you got saved, however long ago that was, the time I got saved, God has been building us on His own foundation. God has been working in us, and God has been dealing in our heart, and we are to be using the methods of the Word of God to build a life. Didn't know He's a contractor, did you? But we're builders. Paul says here, according to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, a contractor, a builder of a home, a builder of a life. And that's the methods that we use. Every building undergoes some type of inspection. When we built this building, it was inspected. We built the gymnasium, it was inspected. Why? It was looking at what the builder did to make sure it was right. And you and I, one day, we're going to be inspected. Amen. He's the building inspector. He's got all the codes and He's got all the things of how we should have done it, and He's going to tell us where we didn't do it right. Our materials, not only will our methods be discovered, but our materials will be discovered. Verse number 12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble." There's the materials. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. There are worthy materials. And then there's some worthless materials. The worthy materials, as far as mentally thinking and socially thinking, are the gold and the silver and the precious stones. These refer to the beautiful things of the work that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they stand the test of time. Thank God for them. Every one of us, if we serve the Lord very long, we're going to be building some things that are gold and silver and precious stones. And the Lord's going to look at those materials and say, "That's good. He's going to look at those things of our life, and we're going to be examined. And as we give narrative to the Lord, and He asks us certain things, and we give Him the answer, He'll say, that's gold, and that's silver, and that's precious stone, and that's great, and that's good, and there's reward for that. But there's the worthless materials also. The wood, the hay, and the stubble. Do you notice the difference here in these materials? The wood and the hay and the stubble, those refer to things that are temporary, ugly, and cheap. The gold and the silver and the precious stone, they refer to things that are beautiful and expensive and difficult to get. It's not too hard for us to go out here this morning. We can go out here in the woods or the yard, and we can find wood, we can find straw, and we can find this old stubble. It's not too hard to come by. But who of us can go out here in our yards and find some gold? I don't know of any. If we did, we'd all be there. Who of us can go out in our yards, in our backyards, or out here in the church property and can dig out some gold or some silver? Or pray tell, we go down there and dig a little deeper and find some precious stones. Those gems that people buy. And we wear them on our fingers. We wear them around our necks. Those gold and silver and precious stone. Those things that are desirable. Those things that are beautiful. Those things that are, you know why they're called precious stones? Because there's not an abundance of them. I wonder why wood and hay and stubble is not called precious. Go cut down a tree, you'll find out. There's plenty out there. Go get you a rake and rake up your yard and you'll find stubble, straw, not too pretty. Oh, you can build things out of wood and you can build things out of hay and you can build things out of stubble, but they don't last very long. Some are worthy. Some are worthless. But that's what we build on the foundation. One of those six. One of those two categories. These things are going to be made manifest. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Publicly. It's not the size of our work, but it's the sort of it. It's not just what we do, but why do we do it? It's not just the actions, but it's the attitude. Those are the things that God looks at. And those are the things that God will judge. It's not just our hands that do the work, but it's the heart that we put behind it. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord. Some people do things for Jesus Christ so that they can be flattered in this world. And Jesus said, you have your reward. I've known folks that they wouldn't do anything unless you recognize them. Isn't it great just to do something because we do it for the Lord? It doesn't matter if our names go up in lights. And it doesn't matter if the world knows us, but it does matter what God knows about us. I'd rather have my life as that young lady that just died, Anna Nicole. I'd rather have my life any day. I'm not fighting over $1 billion. I'd probably die if I thought I could even have a fight for it. Our lifestyle is different than the world's. They have their just reward now. I'd rather have my life right now. If I was to drop dead this moment, I'd rather have my life right now as her life right now. Not just her. Anybody that dies without Christ. Our rewards are there. There's going to be a revealing discovery. Oh, there's going to be some delights. There's going to be some things that are great. Notice verse 14 there says, if any man works abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What a great thing it is to receive a blessing, a reward from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our devotional life will be rewarded. Our deeds and our love for others and our love for Christ will be rewarded. It's not just what we intend to do, but it's what we do. It's what we meant to do, but it's what we go ahead and do. I just jotted down a few things here, how some things we're going to be rewarded for. I believe we'll be rewarded for how we treat believers. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Then he later said, if you love the brethren, the world will know that you belong to him. And I believe we'll have reward how we treat the brethren, how we treat believers. I believe we'll be rewarded of how we use or employ our abilities that God gives us. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Putting our abilities to work, putting our ways of serving God to work for Him. Matthew 15 gives us the parable of the talents, what we do with it. We'll be judged how we treat believers. We'll be judged according to our abilities. I believe we'll be judged how we use our finances. I believe we'll be judged how we spend our time. We'll be judged how we go through things for the Lord. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. That's how we suffer for the Lord. We'll be judged for that. I believe we'll receive reward for how we run the race that is put before us. How we stay busy for the things and cause of Christ. I believe we'll be judged according to how we control our old nature. Our old nature isn't saved yet. This body of flesh is still flesh and it rises up against us. And I believe we'll be judged and I believe we'll be rewarded how we control the old natural ability that we have. Paul was afraid that he might be set upon and be a castaway. He said, God forbid that happen. He's afraid he'd lose his ability to serve God. I believe we'll be judged how we witness and how we tell people about Christ. We'll be judged not necessarily according to how many we win, but how many we tell. Really and truly, we don't win anybody. God does the winning. We're just the messengers. But God's going to judge us what kind of messenger we are. The Old Testament said there was a watchman on the wall and said if that watchman saw an enemy approaching, he needed to warn them. And he said if he warned the city that enemy was coming and problems and armies was approaching, said the blood wouldn't be on his hand because he had warned them for them to prepare. But if he saw the enemy approaching and he did not warn, then blood would be on his hands. You and I this morning, as a child of God, we are to warn the world that Jesus is going to judge sin. People are going to die and go to hell without Christ. We're to tell them. And if we don't do that, we'll be judged. I think we'll be judged how we are faithful to Christ. I believe we'll be judged how faithful we are to the house of God. I believe in the local church, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I believe we'll be judged how we treat His church. He died for the church, gave himself for it. We'll be judged how we look for his coming. Paul said there in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. How we look forward to the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Going to be a day of delight. But I'm afraid, lastly, it's going to be a day of disappointments. Look at verse 15. Now notice verse 14 says, if any man works abide, he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now verse 15, if any man's works shall be burned, one's abiding, one's burning. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If you're going to gain and receive reward for abiding, and you're going to suffer loss, what is that loss? Refer back to a loss of rewards. Just good grammar, understanding. He shall suffer loss, a loss of rewards. It's going to be a day of disappointments. Someone put it this way, it's going to be a day of bloody hands, burned works, broken hearts. One day it'll be that. Lot's a prime example. Works burned up. House burned up. Family lost. Heart broken. Lot is that one. He is the one that is given to us as an example that one day will stand before a holy and a righteous God. That doesn't bother me. Don't worry about that baby. She's probably doing what maybe needs to be done. But one day we'll stand before the Lord. Our hearts be broken. Our hands bloody. Why? Because we suffer loss. Loss of rewards. At the judgment seat of Christ, backsliders will be there. Parents will be there. Children will be there. Talented people will be there. Sunday school teachers will be there. Deacons will be there. Preachers will be there. The saved will be there. Know you not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That's verse 16. Our body, the temple of God. One day, I don't know when it'll be. I know the time frame, but I don't know when it'll be. But one day we'll stand and we'll give an account unto the Lord. Shudders my heart and my soul to think of some of the narrative that I'll have to give to the Lord. Some of the things I'll have to admit. Some of the things I'll have to say guilty. But I rejoice this morning at some of the things I can say, yes, I did that. Yes, I remember talking to so-and-so. And I didn't know they got saved or not. But there they are. We'll be able to say, yes, I gave my mission dollar. And multitudes will get rewards for that. It's a day of loss, yes. Thank God. It's all, when that's all done, it's over. But it's going to be a day of great rejoicing of what we've accomplished and what we've done for the Lord. Somebody say, well, when we see all those things and all that taking place and we lose our rewards and how in the world can we enjoy heaven? Well, the Bible says He's going to wipe away all of our tears. Amen. And you know what? What else He's going to wipe away? He's going to wipe away all of our memories because those are the former things of life. And what crowns and what rewards we have, the Bible says we'll cast them at His feet. For worthy is the Lamb. What we have, what we do, what we'll ever be this morning is all because of what He did for us. And we're all going to stand before Him. And it's going to be a judgment of what great reward we'll have if we live for Him. We'll work till Jesus comes. God help us to be busy, to be workers in the field. Don't say there's 4 months and then come harvest. Know you not the fields are already white unto harvest. Pray you therefore that the Lord of the harvest push them into the harvest fields. God help us to do that. Let's stand together this morning. This message is a message, I hope, of teaching. A message of revealing what is going to take place. A message of warning. And a message of encouragement. You see, how can a message be all that in one message? It's how our heart is. It's how we receive it. If we're lacking in some areas, it's a message of judgment and can help us. If we're doing all that we can, the best we can, then it's a message of rejoicing, saying, I'm just going to keep on the fire line and do what God tells me to do. It's how we receive it in our heart. Is how it affects us. May God help us to know that one day we'll all, every one of us in here this morning, if every person in here this morning is saved, one day we're going to be at that judgment. We're going to be there standing together. And we're going to give a narrative to the Lord, and we're not going to have somebody take our place for us. We're not going to have somebody testify for us. It's us and God, and we're having our day in court. Thank God when it's all over, we'll cast our crowns. What number are we